Hallelujah. I am a child of God. My goodness, we ought to run all over the place when we sing that song. Thinking about being a child of God. Amen. Think about it. You're a child of God. Yeah. Child of God. That's been changed. You know, you were a child of whoever your daddy was, but now you're a child of God. He's your daddy now. Just look over at your neighbor there and say, who's your daddy? Hallelujah. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 5, okay? Revelation chapter 5. And let's look at verse 10. Revelation 5 and 10. Here's what John wrote to us here. He says, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall what? Reign on earth. Now, I want you to just get that in your mind, because I want to talk to you tonight about our rightful place. You see, our rightful place is not under the devil's foot. Come on, people talk about that all the time. Well, you know, the devil's, he just got me down, or he's riding on my back and all. No, our rightful place is to be a king and a priest unto God. Why? Because God has made us that way. Now, I understand and know that this messes with religious folks. They just get tore up, you know, because they think we ought to have to just take whatever comes down the pike. And anything that happens to us is the will of God. But it's not the will of God. Come on, there's a real devil out here that wants you to go to hell, wants to give you as much trouble as he can on the way to hell. Come on. You've got to understand that. Most people can't see the spiritual side of what's going on in their life. In their Christianity, they don't understand that there's a spiritual side to this. It's not about just joining some church like it's a club and staying there. We serve a God who lives in heaven. He has a Son whose name is Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ came and paid for our sins and then returned to heaven, He left us in charge. He left us as kings and priests. He did not leave us down here defenseless. Amen, amen. And so we have to get a hold of this. Most folks have a hard time getting a hold of that because they would rather have excuses why they're not coming up to meet that place. We all can say, oh me, on that one. Come on now. We are all living way below our potential. Come on now. It's true we are. And that's not to say we're not striving, we're not pressing toward the mark, but the truth is we've not hit the mark yet. Come on, but that's not going to keep me from trying. Come on. No matter what the enemy throws at me, I'm going to speak the word against it. Amen. It does. See, that's the thing. Knowing who you are does not keep the enemy from attacking, but knowing who you are means that you know what you can use as a weapon against him. Well, Jesus gave us the greatest example that could ever be given. He used the word against the devil. That's what defeated Satan. So when sickness and disease comes, what should we use? The word of God. When poverty is trying to come on you, or lack or want, what should you use? The word of God. You see, and that when we start learning to do that and realize that we have a right to yield the word of God. As a king, as a priest, who are both over, you know, the king's over the natural, the priest is over the spiritual. You understand that, right? Both of them are the leaders of that. And therefore, as that, we both have the right as a king to yield our sword against the devil, the word of God. And as a priest, we yield the word of God over what Satan's doing. See, so we got to understand this. So when he says, you know, he's made us kings and priests unto God, then we ought to get excited about that. That means we don't have to take what everybody else is taking. We don't have to live like the world lives, church. Do you understand that? We're kings and priests unto God. That means we live without being sick. I don't get mad at me now. We can live without being broke. Come on. I mean, I understand God's trying to help us in the natural, but you're bullshitting or something. You know, I mean, every day you go, anytime you go to the doctor, one of the best, I'm going to tell you, 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 I'm going So everything that Bible says you have, and everything it says you can do, you can do. Amen. So we have to get a hold of that understanding that He has made us king. Not, we didn't make ourselves that. We didn't write the book. But God inspired John to write that down, that He's made us kings unto priests and priests unto Him. I'm glad he wrote it down, aren't you? I'm glad he never said, well, he's made us poor paupers and we're just going to barely get along and we're just going to hold on and hold out to when God finally has pity on us and sends Jesus down to get us and take us home. Come on, that's the way a lot of folks preach the church. But that's not who the church is. We are the victorious church. We are above only and not beneath. Come on, we are ahead and not beneath. Amen. Come on, see, we've got to get that place where that's from God, and give us plenty of grace to walk in the glory of God, to be stupid or be smart and be walking in the way of man. But the clue of things on the world, or the implications of things, it's because people in the church, in the world, they're not even seeing that they've got to rise up, especially God. You've got to be great, noble, so awesome, you take care of your family. Again, the king's the earthly man. I ain't over my own. Do you know what I say? And I mean, all the people expect me to take myself. And I think, man, you can think whatever you want to and do what you want to, but you know, I believe God wants to be healthy and well. He wants me to have your things. I'm the king of my own. I'm the king of my demands. In the spirit. I was the devil, I'm knocking on your door. He comes too. You need to send him back out the door. Matter of fact, he was running Jesus for just a little while there. He had lived. He could. So God has made you and I kings. Verse 17. But he said over here, in Romans, offense, death ruined by one. Much more the gift of righteousness just up there. Is anybody else receiving it? Come on, if you be Christ, Abraham, see, all things pass away, all things become new. That he who knew sin would make it easy, so that we can be what? The righteousness of God. So we've received abundance of grace. We've received righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says in the justification, now we'll be back up and go down that thing. He goes to grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. It will be in life. Didn't say reign in eternal life. You see, people have a hard time with that, too. God's one rightful place. As the children of God, as kings of faith, you set the rules. How do I set the rules? Well, if you know the word of God, stand to the word of God, then you're ruling and reigning according to the word of God. Come on, right now, you know, he's getting back up. We're taking chips over there and kind of out and do something stupid. But no, we get the battle ourselves. When we're in the spirit of battle, God is right there by the way. Amen. But we have the right to rule and reign because through the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave us that. And that's why if we don't like the way our life's going, we might already look the way my life's going right now. And most of I can reign in this life, the way your life's going, and you just do that little reset, you've got to do yourself by gnosis. Now, this David, it is not popular. God is not wrong, God is right. So let God be true, and every man a liar. So the foundation, look and see what we're missing in that. Because God already told us what we have. And if we don't have this life, where I've been missing this at. You see, the thing about this, the more you get into the Word, the more you see, and I can't just sit here talking about how bad things are. I've got to use high faith. You know, you've heard the old adage, you're not a monster. That gauges what's going on. That's the way a lot of Christians are. Well, I'm just telling you, honey, things are getting bad. I don't know what in the world we're going to. I mean, they're telling you what it is. But the thermostat, that's what you are. The thermostat changes it. It controls it. It sets the atmosphere. So what we have to do is we've got to learn to quit just telling everybody what's going on and start telling everybody what's going to happen. When we walked into this place tonight, it was a little cool. There was felt like a little damp coup in this place. It felt that way. Now, it wasn't 70 degrees, but it felt a little damp coup. And so I got out my phone. I went over there to where the thermostats were, and I just went ahead and clicked it from cool to heat. I didn't just accept the fact that it was on cool. Well, it's on cool. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Right? I set it over to heat. Well, now, heat setting was for 68. And I thought, well, that's not going to change anything. Amen. Then I started pushing the little button up. And I just took it up to 71. It was 70 already. But I just took it up to 71. 1 degree. Guess what? It's warm in here now. Some of you are like this. It's hot now. You know, Kristen was like, I'm burning up. I just 1 degree. Just imagine what 1 degree in the Spirit would do. Just imagine the things that would change if you went from cold to hot and then just took it up 1 degree above what it is right now. Pastor Mike, I'm doing real good right now. Good. Let's take it up another degree. Amen. See, you have the ability to do that through the Word of God and through your authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave you that and told you to reign and rule in your life. And if we don't, it's our fault. It's not God's fault. A lot of folks will say, you know, well, God, why is all this happening to me? Well, understand there is a real devil out there and he's coming at you. But you've got to realize, even though the devil comes is coming at you, he's already a defeated foe. And because your elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, defeated him, you can also defeat him. Come on, He's already made a way for you to do that. You have to understand that. Listen, I'm ruling and reigning now on earth in the place of Jesus. I didn't say I was Jesus. I didn't say I was God. I'm saying that He left me here to take care of my kingdom, my realm. And He left you to do the same thing. That's why the Lord was able to look at them and say, you know, you see the things I do. Greater things will you do because I go to the Father. Well, it was going to the Father to send the Holy Ghost down here and let the Holy Ghost live on the inside of us. We got the power on the inside of us that created everything. It's in us. But what we do is we forget that. And we walk around like we're defeated and like we don't have nothing. And what are we going to do about it? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do about it. We're going to start kicking in the Holy Ghost. Come on, we're going to start charging up and getting over in the Spirit and begin to pray out in the Spirit of God. Amen. Begin to speak out of our mouth and thermostat some things. Amen. Set some things. Cause some things into being that are not. Well, you can't do that. Well, God does it, and we're His children. And so if He left us to rule and reign in His place, He'd be a bad God not to let us be able to do what He does. Amen. Right? Jesus couldn't tell us we'd do greater things if we couldn't call those things that be not as though they were. Amen. So that's what we're, this is the problem. It's a mentality thing. Because we're talking things that are up here, and most people would rather stay down here because there's no responsibility down here. See, that's why a lot of preachers won't tell you what I'm telling you now, because they don't want to have to admit if it's not there, then it's their fault. I have to hold up both hands. I've got t-shirts. I've got hats. I've got buttons where it's my fault. Because I've not done exactly what I'm telling you to do right now. Come on. It's not that I ain't working. I'm just saying to the ability that we should be doing it. Amen. Most of us have it working to a degree in our life. I can look around and watch you. But what if we turn it up a degree? Move it up. Push that button and say, you know what? I'm going to move that up. I'm going to get a little hotter in here. Come on now. Going to get a little hotter in here. I'm going to move myself up. I'm going to turn myself up. Well, you know, you're going to turn yourself up with the Word of God. Right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's how you're going to begin to turn yourself up. So He's saying we can rule. We can reign in this life. We don't have to sit around and just take everything that comes. Now, look over here with Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you something here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, wherefore remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Notice this. What He's saying is this. We are now part of the same household as the Jews. We are all in the family of God now together, and it happened through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we start taking our place, we have to realize that we are the family of God. We are part of everything that God does on this earth. It involves us. I said everything He does on this earth, it involves us. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down and taking away the barrier that was between us, the Gentiles, and the Jews, between us and God, and He did it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because He did that now, He brought us all together as one family. That's why the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. We're all one in Christ. So we're all the body and we're all ought to be reigning the same way together. We ought to have faith and trust in God. I was talking the other day about faith to somebody and we were just talking about the things that God would have us to do and the things that He says He can do. And we were talking about when we first started getting into faith. Dear lady's gone on to be with the Lord now, but we were talking about faith and how nothing's impossible if you just believe God. And one day she needed to go to town for, it was urgent that she needed to go, and she didn't have any money or she didn't have any gas in her car. And we've just been talking about faith and believing God about things and how to believe God and things. And she said, God, you know I got to go and I ain't got nothing here but water. And she went out and she poured water into her vehicle. She got in her vehicle, drove to town, did whatever things that she needed to do, and drove back to the house. And when she got back to the house, the vehicle quit. Now, you say, well, I don't really believe she did that. Well, ask the mechanic that had to take the gas tank off and drain all the water out. You say, well, how is that possible? All things are possible to them that believe. She trusted God. She believed God, and it got her to where she wanted to go and back. Now, I'm starting to think about that after I remembered that story. I started thinking about that. You know, it'd be pretty nice just to go out there to the car and take the water hose and fill it up. Come on, now, he turned water into wine. It ain't no problem for him to turn water into gasoline. You know, both of them kind of form of alcohol, I guess. You know? But think about that for a minute. That really happened. That is a true story. I know the person. And I know when it happened. And we were all just getting into this thing, and all of us were just crazy on fire for God and in moving in faith. And she was just crazy enough to do it. And guess what? God was just crazy enough to honor her faith. You see, and that's things we have to see and understand. God hadn't changed. He's still the same God. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that can believe. So when we start thinking about us being children of God, in the family of God, and starting to believe God, basically what we're saying, I believe Daddy. You know, when as kids, we always believed our parents. Right? Why would we stop believing our Heavenly Father? If His Word says it, it's settled. Right? He didn't talk idle talk. If it's in the Word, it's settled. And so we can act on that word and it'll come to pass. But we have to do it faith believing. We can't just say, well, I hope this works. Right? No, we got to stand and know that it works. Did you hear me? You know, I know this will work. How do I know this? When they were talking about that baby, I got the report. I think Sister Cammie sent Pastor at the report and they were all talking about, they told them that that baby was, is it all right if I share? Sometimes I share maybe when I shouldn't. They told them that that baby was too small. They told them that that baby would not develop properly. I don't know if they even mentioned, I hope they did. Did they mention abortion? I don't know if they did or not. But they were just telling them how bad it was going to be. And we all praying, they're praying, everybody's getting together and praying. And we're just praying. I said, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's not the way it's going to be. Don't worry, it'll be fine. I told Chris that. I said, that baby's going to be fine. And I started naming him. Started naming some. Tiana, Sister Tiana back there. You know, she's gone to college now. But Sister Tina, her mommy, came to me while she was still pregnant. And she says, I need you to pray with me. The doctors are telling me that she's got Down syndrome. I said, she ain't got Down syndrome. In Jesus' name, she's not. She's a normal. Come on now. See, you have to start saying some things and talk some things. They were talking the baby is going to be normal. Doctors only know what they know. Right? They're still practicing medicine, but we serve the great physician. The one that created that baby in the womb. Well, it's born, it's like they said, it's beautiful. It's tiny, but it's beautiful and everything's perfect. Amen. Well, you know, I've seen others like that were small like that. You know, Sister... Briley, yes. That's what I was trying to think about. Little Briley, you see her running around here now. She's, you know, she's grown up. She wasn't big as a minute. We went to the hospital down in Lexington, and she was in an incubator and they were saying all these things, and she had lines and cords hooked up and all over her, and they was, you know, worried about her, didn't know what was going to come on. I went in there to the incubator, stuck my hands through that thing and put my hands on that baby. I said, you're going to live and not die, and you're going to grow up to be normal. Now, I'm telling you, please, I don't take credit for nothing. I'm just telling you, we've got to believe God. God did all this, all of us prayed, but God did it. They were all praying for Briley too, but I'm just saying that's what God will do if we'll just believe. It don't matter what the doctor's report says. I'll never forget one time Jesse the Plantist told to tell that to somebody. They called him and said, we need you to come down to the hospital and pray for so-and-so, if you would. They've give up on them. They're eat up with cancer, and we just wondered if you might go to the hospital and pray. And he said he went down, he was going down there, and he said he took a fellow, and his name was Bubba. He said he was a big old guy. I don't know, some of you may have heard him tell this story before, but true story. He said he went down there to the hospital and went in and said, the room smelled. The fellow's just eat up with cancer. And they're looking around, sitting around, looking at him, and they've all give up and stuff. And he said he walked in there and he said, all right, everybody out of the room. He said they looked at him and he put them all out of the room. And he told Bubba, he said, Bubba, get the door, don't let nobody in. So he said, Bubba got over and put his foot against the door. And he said, he grabbed a hold of that guy's big toe. He said, I started praying in the Spirit, saying he'd live and not die. He said, I prayed and prayed and prayed. And he said, people started knocking on the door. Bubba said, preachers are praying. He just kept right on praying. And finally, when he got done, then Bubba opened the door. And of course, they all come in, Said he let nothing happen. Said he left there. Said a few days later, he thought, I'm going to go back over there. Ain't heard nothing. So he said he walked back in. When he walked into the man's room, that man went, there's that fella that grabbed my big toe. Totally healed. Totally. Why? Because they believe God. See, as us ruling and reigning and taking our rightful place, we have to believe God. If we don't believe God, how are we going to help somebody that don't? Come on. Sometimes you've got to have faith for somebody. I know that they need to have faith, and that's part of it. But you and I sometimes need to have the faith for God to work through us a miracle and let the gifts of the Spirit operate through us. When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, whether they believe or not, it can happen. Because it's God working through the Spirit of God to do that. They're not getting it on their faith, they're getting it on yours. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, what about the guy that was on the cot? Jesus is in the house, can't get him in the house. Everybody's sitting around in there so full they can't. Here they come carrying their friend. Go up on the roof, tear the roof off. Stick him down through the roof. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's some faith. Come on. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man on the cot, when he saw their faith, they had faith that if they could get that man to Jesus, he'd be healed. And guess what? Not only did he get his sins forgiven, he got healed. That's still true today, church. He's the same God. He hadn't changed. What he worked through Jesus, he wants to work through you. Greater works. Greater works, he says. So when we start getting a hold of this, of us taking our rightful place, man, we ought to get excited about that. I don't have to be second best. I can be first. Pastor Ed, or Stephanie starts talking about, when she's up here, I'm God's favorite. No, I am. And you ought to be saying the same thing. No, I am. Why? Because really God's not a respecter of persons, so we're all His favorite. You know why? Because when He looks at us, He sees Jesus. Did you hear me? When He looks at us, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied to our life. So that's why God's not a respecter of persons. Every one of us got in the family of God the same way, through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when we know that, then we understand that through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can rule and reign through just that name. Did you know that? You understand that? Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. It says, and these signs will follow them that believe. Of course, this is Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. In my name shall they cast out devils. Notice that. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, if you wanted to make that a long sentence, you'd say, in my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they'll take up serpents. In my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick, and in my name, they shall recover. Why? Because he's given us his name. Whatsoever you ask in my name, Jesus says, I'll do it. So we've got to get our faith over there. We've got to believe and got to understand. Listen to this one. This is Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Did you just hear what he just said? He said, at the name of Jesus, every demonic force in the heavenlies has to bow. Every demonic force here on this earth has to bow. And every demonic force that's in hell has to bow. Come on. You see, why? Because of the name of Jesus. Do you get that? When we use the name of Jesus, the Bible says that demons fear and tremble. But here's the problem. You've got to use it in faith. You have to use it like you believe it. Come on. You it has to be like a gun to you. I'm loaded and I'll shoot you. And use the name of the Jesus that way. You shoot with the name of Jesus. Because I believe when I say Jesus out of my mouth, something happens. Come on, you probably wouldn't question when you pull the trigger and the gun goes off that something's going to happen. But what about using the name of Jesus and believing that something's coming out of your mouth to take down the enemy? And it is. It's the name, the power, and the authority that's given to you through that name. So we can rule and reign through his name. We can rule and reign because he's given us the power and authority to do it. He's already given it to us. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. That's demons and demon activity. And all over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You've been given power over all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. How many knows that some of the sickness and diseases that's hitting people, that's enemies? We've been given power over theirs. It's not just the demonic things. It's not just the devils that are coming at us. But it's also some of the tactics and some of the tricks that he uses on us. Over all the power of the enemy. Amen. See, when you start seeing that, you understand God gave us that. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Notice that. He says you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Anybody got the Holy Ghost on them? Come on now, he's in us, he's on us, he's all over us. Come on now. I kind of like that song we used to sing. I got him in my hands, I got him in my feet, I got him in my head, got him all over me. Hallelujah. Might be a little old, but there's a lot of truth to that. Amen. Maybe we ought to start singing that again just because that tells the story of where the Holy Ghost resides at. It's in us. You see, when we understand that God has given us this power, and that we, when we take our rightful place in the kingdom of God, we it helps us to understand over in Ezekiel when God brought him into that valley of dry bones. I'm not going to go read it for time's sake, but when he brought him there, he asked him, he said, you know, son of man, can these bones live? And he said, you know, God. And then he began to tell him to prophesy to the bones, to tell them to live. Prophesy to the wind. And the wind blew and the breath came. Prophesy that flesh would come upon that. Prophesy life. Now, see, here's what you've got to understand. every time God told him to do something, he was causing Ezekiel to turn up the temperature another degree. Now understand, Ezekiel did not have the Spirit of God living on the inside of him. Come on. He's an Old Testament saint, and he's still prophesying and telling things that be not to be. And they was. And it raised up a mighty army for God. See, when you and I, when we begin to prophesy to the four winds, when we begin to prophesy life into dry bones, when we begin to prophesy those that maybe they ain't right where they need to be, and begin to prophesy the flesh, the fullness of them to come back. When we start prophesying that the Spirit of God will just get a hold, what's going to happen? Things are going to change. We're going to see people start rising up because out of our mouth. See, our problem is a lot of times we're not really concerned about other folks. But if we're not concerned about other folks, then we're in trouble. Because we're supposed to be watching out for our brothers and sisters. Come on. The Bible says if you can't love your brother who you see, how can you love God who you don't see? See, this church ought not to be able to even hold the people that have come through those doors and said this was their church. But I don't know where they're at. They've dropped off. But what happens if we begin to prophesy and prophesy them to come back? Call them back in the name of Jesus Christ. You come back to where you belong. You come back to where God first brought you life. You say, well, that was alive when the God... I'm talking about spiritual life. You see, the enemy's a liar, and he's the father of lies. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. And in this place, the Spirit of God has liberty. And so what you and I have to do is we have to start taking our place. We're kings and priests unto God. A king can decree a thing. They can write... Remember, they decreed that everybody come back to their hometown when Jesus was born. I understand it was part of the Old Testament, but at the same time, they had to come back there. How about we start decreeing that God brings back those that are supposed to be here? Now, I don't want those that don't want us, but not don't supposed to be here. Because that just messes, give the enemy a place to mess things up. But the ones that are supposed to be here, and there's a lot of them, and your families that are supposed to be here. Come on. The drug addicts out there that are supposed to be here. The homosexuals that are out there that are supposed to be here. The weird-looking ones out there that are supposed to be here. See, God's not a respecter of persons with them. Once the Spirit of God gets a hold of them, it changes their life. Just like it changed our life. But we've got to take our rightful place. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, help us, God, that we take our rightful place as kings and priests. Sons and daughters, heirs and joint heirs, Father. God, to begin to set the temperature, to set the atmosphere, to change and begin to prophesy and call things that be not as though they were, to begin to bring things to pass through and by the Spirit of God, Lord, for your glory and for your honor, Father God, that you'll be lifted up and you'll be magnified. Father, I thank you that you use us in a mighty way. And Father God, we open our doors to whoever you want to bring in so that, Lord, we can be part of everything you want to do in this whole community, this whole area, this whole state, the eastern United States. We don't care. Father, it's up to you. This is your house and we're your servants. And we just thank you today, Father God, that you'll give us all the strength to, by faith, begin to move on up to where you have us to be. And we just give you glory. Thank you for giving us a place at your right hand with our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody here that needs to be prayed for, needs us to lay hands on you, just